If you'll turn in your Bibles with me to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. If you're using the Pew Bible, that's page number 166. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. Observe the month of Abib and celebrate the Passover to the Lord your God, because the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night in the month of Abib. Sacrifice to the Lord your God a Passover animal from the herd or flock in the place where the Lord chose to have his name dwell. You must not eat leavened bread with it. For 7 days you are to eat unleavened bread with it, the bread of hardship, because you left the land of Egypt in a hurry. So that you may remember for the rest of your life the day you left the land of Egypt. No yeast is to be found anywhere in your territory for 7 days, and none of the meat you sacrifice in the evening of the first day is to remain until morning. You are not to sacrifice the Passover animal in any of the towns the Lord your God is giving you. You must only sacrifice the Passover animal at the place where the Lord your God chooses to have his name dwell. Do this in the evening as the sun sets at the same time of day you departed from Egypt. You are to cook and eat it in the place the Lord your God chooses, and you are to return to your tents in the morning. You must eat unleavened bread for 6 days. On the seventh day, there is to be a solemn assembly to the Lord your God, and you must not do any work. May God bless the reading and receiving of His Word.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, choir. Festivals, feasts, are always important. Whether they are feasts and festivals for individual families, or feasts and festivals for particular groups of people, or feasts and festivals for particular countries. They are important. They're important to remember, important in which to participate. For Christians, probably two of the most important of those festivals that we celebrate are Christmas and, that's right, Easter. Christmas and Easter, because these two events kind of frame the life and the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth, our Lord and our Christ. Within Judaism, Passover is a prime example of an important festival. It's one of the most important. And actually, in the book of Deuteronomy, Passover is one of three pilgrimage festivals that are to be done annually. Now, there are other festivals that are celebrated. If I were Jewish, Yom Kippur would probably be important for me, because that's the one day out of the year where you can be forgiven for all the sins that you have confessed for the past year. And you get to start out with a clean slate, and that would be a pretty important festival. We just celebrated Independence Day yesterday, a day of freedom, July the 4th. We gathered in a variety of places, and a variety of ways were used to remember, to celebrate. And I know that many of you didn't just sit back and watch the fireworks. You participated in the celebration. All that barbecue, and those beans, and the slaw, and the desserts. That's why some of you still have heavy eyelids this morning, because you're still overstuffed. I know I ate more than I should have and did not step on the scales this morning. But we gathered to remember that freedom that we have, and those who worked so hard to attain the freedom for us, and those who continue to pay the cost of that freedom. And it is very important for us to remember July the 4th, 1776. With great fanfare, yes. But I think we also need to remember, just as the end of the Passover was to be remembered, with also a sense of quiet awe. A sense of quietness and awe at the immensity of that principle. Freedom. Freedom. Freedom to work as you please, provided it is not harmful to yourself or someone else. Freedom to marry whom you would like. Freedom to worship as you are led by God. And yet, how often do we forget that freedom in particular? Well, maybe we don't forget it completely, but many weeks out of the year, we kind of forget about it because we don't show up. We say, well, you know, hey, I'm free to not go, which is true. But how do we fully understand that freedom, and how can we fully participate in the grace that God offers us if we do not share in that celebration? For you see, each week we celebrate. We celebrate God's grace to us in Jesus the Christ. Every Sunday, Christians are actually celebrating resurrection. And though sometimes we do that with solemnity, we also do it with joy and with fanfare. Sure, we celebrate on July 4th, but sometimes that freedom really gets lost in the chaos. We should commemorate regularly the blessing of freedom. The blessing of freedom for which people died. The blessing of freedom for which people suffered so that we might worship freely without the government telling us how we have to worship or telling us we cannot worship at all. The celebration carries with it, though, something more. It carries with it a responsibility to share. To share the story and to share the commemoration with future generations. Yet there is more to be shared and more to be gained when we remember our commitment is not just to each other, our commitment is to God and the blessings we receive from God. Now, today's passage that Chris read is part of five farewell speeches that Moses gave just prior to his death, and just prior to the children of Israel entering the land of promise, the land of Canaan. In it, he reminds the people actually of three annual festivals, if we continued reading through verse 17, of great importance. But he also mentions the importance of continuing not only to celebrate, but to tell. We are to rest, to celebrate, to commemorate, and to pass it on. And like the Sabbath, the Israelites are called to observe and participate fully, remembering God's deliverance, Passover, and moving further in the text, remembering God's blessings in the land, the Feast of Weeks, also the Feast of Pentecost that remembers the first fruits of the harvest. The best part. And the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles, the ingathering of that harvest. These observances, remembering freedom and blessing, but also remembering the responsibility that God gives. These observances help keep alive the connections with God. And help keep alive the connections with each other. We have many generations represented in our presence today. From the youngest, there's a 10-month-old downstairs, as well as a year-old and some others, all the way to a few of you who are just a shade older than the youngest. And that's as far as I'll go. But we need to remember and keep alive those connections with God and with each other through our celebrations, especially our weekly celebrations, as we come and as we worship. Israel was reminded by God through Moses of the freedom that God gives and the many blessings that God brings, but that those freedoms and blessings are not cheap, and they can disappear rather quickly. They are to remember these observances, not just at particular times of the year, but there is a call to come as with the Sabbath, and to rest and to worship. For you see, we are reminded when we come together that it is God who did not pass over us, but God who offered each of us an opportunity to share in God's life in the world. It is we who sometimes pass over God. And our weekly gathering reminds us even more than July the 4th of the liberation that God brings. Liberation of conscience, liberation of spirit, liberation to be God's children. I want to read just briefly from the Passover Haggadah, or the order that is to be used within Judaism. And then I want to relate it to our remembrance of freedom in Christ. In every generation, a person is obliged to see himself as though he personally came out of Egypt. As it is written, "You shall tell your son on that day, saying, 'This is because of what the Lord did for me when I left Egypt.' It was not our ancestors alone that the Holy One redeemed, but he redeemed us as well, along with them. Therefore, we are obliged to thank, praise, laud, glorify, exalt, honor, bless, extol, and adore him who performed all of these wonders for us. He brought us out of slavery into freedom, out of sorrow into happiness, out of mourning into holiday, out of darkness into daylight, and out of bondage into redemption." This statement, though from the Jewish ceremony, speaks to we who are Christians as well, reminding us that religious and ethical living always go hand in hand and come from God. So our freedom is not just to live as we wish, but it is freedom to live ethically and morally so that others may know of the greatness of God's love and God's grace. Because of God's redemption, the bounty and the blessing we should never take for granted. We should remember and pass along God's redemption and God's blessing. We were blessed today as we baptized one who found that redemption, who receives that blessing, and in whom God can continue to bless. But it is also up to we who have been walking with God much longer to continue to tell and to be a part of that blessing. To remember regularly, not just for old time's sake, but for the future of our world and God's kingdom. We need to remind ourselves of God's redemptive and creative activity, of which we are a part. Remembering that God, when we ourselves were in bondage, came and gave us liberation and grace. We began today with that baptism, a joyful occasion, an occasion that calls us to remember when we were initially rescued from exile, when we were given our freedom by God, a freedom that, quite frankly, is much greater than that freedom we have from July the 4th, a freedom that helped in some ways to create what we celebrate, a freedom which demands that we give back to God money, talent, time, but most of all ourselves in active participation in worship, in study, and in joyfully telling others of God's all-filling redemption. It has been said that Christianity is only one generation away from extinction. And that's true. For if we do not remember regularly and remember to tell, then how will the next generation know and grow and tell? The text today deals with remembering the Passover, but more importantly, it deals with remembering God's grace. Coming together in solemn assembly to worship, to receive, and then to give. May God find us faithful, not just in remembering for the sake of old times, but for the sake of the future. Would you join me in prayer? Our gracious God, we do thank you. We thank you for the grace that you give to us. Help us to remember not only that which you have graced our lives with, but help us in our celebration to remember to tell and to share the good news of liberation, of being brought from darkness into light, out of estrangement into redemption. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision, our closing hymn, is number 778, In the Sweet By and By. Remembering that it will be sweet, but it also can be sweet even now when we share together that grace that God brings. Our altar is open for any decision that you might make, whether that is to publicly profess your faith and acceptance of Jesus as Lord and Savior, to unite with this church as a place from which to minister, or to recommit yourself. Hymn number 778, In the Sweet By and By.